worship Him, to know Him. Howdy, guys. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I know that I'd like to lift up, just have a prayer for a moment. If you have anything in your body that you need prayer for, just reach out by faith. We're going to reach up to the Father tonight. I'm going to pray for Laura. She's been having some migraines today. And we know in whom we believe. See, the thing is, you don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you. How many know you can go to God yourself? Amen. Amen. If you have the Word of God, the truth of what He said, your faith can make you whole. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, surely He has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, and by His stripes we're healed. And then if we look over Matthew 8:17, He said, Jesus begins to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to do all those things. And He said, this is written right here. This is to fulfill that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet himself. Bear our sicknesses, carried our pains. That's Jesus. Matthew 8. Jesus confirmed what Isaiah had already said. And then if we look over in 1 Peter 2:24, He said, He His own self, His own self and His own body on the tree, right? He bore our sin, and that by His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Peter looking back to the cross. Isaiah was looking to the cross. But even under the old covenant, we can see all kinds of healing promised. Exodus 15:26. What did He say? He said, I am. He says, I'm here to make a statute, a covenant with you forever. And He began to place His name right on it. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or if we looked at, you know, some of the redemptive names of God, one of the names is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In other words, He's not withholding any of those things from us. From the Old Testament all the way through the New, Jesus, the Bible says, God provided healing for everyone that comes to Him. He said, whosoever will, whosoever, are you a whosoever? Whosoever. If we ask what in faith, believing in our heart, we don't doubt in our heart, but we're asking Him, whoever will pray or whoever will say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what you say or what you pray is going to come to pass, you'll have whatsoever he saith. Amen. And so we're here tonight. Hallelujah. And we can pray the prayer of faith. Amen. We can say it or we can pray it. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. So we believe, Father, for Laura tonight. And for each person that's sitting here and in the sound of our voice, Lord, tonight, we thank you for healing power. Lord, that is our desire, to see her made well, to be made absolutely whole. So therefore, Father, we call upon you and we thank you and we touch you by faith and we say, Laura, be healed in the name of Jesus. Migraines go from her body and the root cause thereof. Be healed, we say, in Jesus' mighty name. And to every person here, Lord, we believe we receive healing power right now into our bodies. In Jesus' name, to bring complete wholeness. And we thank you for it In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for it right now. We believe we have it. We believe His power. What are we believing? That God's healing power is working in us. It is flowing throughout our bodies, bringing a healing and a cure. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank Him for that. And we say that. We decree it every day. You know, when we get up, we can claim the promise of God. There are promises that already belong to us. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know Joe here, he was healed of a heart condition. Amen. They can't find anything wrong with him now, right? Amen, that's right. We keep ourselves strong with the Word of God. You know, it's good to meditate on healing before you're sick, isn't it? Amen. Amen, and be strong, be ready. If the enemy comes against you, we are ready to speak what God has said, what His Word declares. Say, no, I don't receive that. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I belong to You, Lord. I'm not going to accept. And sometimes, you know, any of us can happen to any of us. But, you know, sometimes we can get passive with our faith. Well, what do you mean passive? Well, we just say, yeah, well, by Your stripes I'm healed, Lord, and we go on, and we don't really think about it, and we don't take it as serious as we should. We do believe God's Word, but we're just kind of not really letting our faith rise up on the inside of us. And we're just saying it by rote, or it becomes a cliche to us. And it wasn't really real from the inside of our hearts. See, we've got to be careful, because that is one tactic that the enemy can come and bring complacency to us. Or a little bit of, well, I said complacency, but really just not as sharp as we should be. Amen. You know, we let little things go. Well, I must just be getting a little older. You know, it just happens to older people. No, it's not what God's Word said. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. As my days, so shall my strength be. He said, I'll cause your youth to be renewed like the eagles. See, healing belongs to you. And sometimes when there's things with us, you know, we start looking around and we're saying, well, Lord, what are You going to do? He comes to us. He says, well, what are You going to do about it? How long are You going to put up with that? That's what He asked me. He said, how long are You going to endure that? Because it's up to me to allow the Word of God to get down in my heart and for me to let my faith rise. I don't have to wait on somebody else. I can exercise and implement healing power flowing throughout my body with faith that God has placed already in my heart and with His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means sometimes we have to hear it more than once or more than twice. And sometimes we have to continually hear the Word of God and let faith come. The Word of God itself. He said in Proverbs 4:20, what did He say? Incline. Let's read it. I don't know why I'm reading. This is just a little exhortation right now. I'm not preaching my message yet. Hallelujah. 4:20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. What does that mean? Listen up. Get your ear there. Listen to it. Attend to the Word of God. That means we got to look at it. We got to think about it. We've got to put it first place in our mouth. Attend to what I said, my words, the Lord's words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That means, you know, if you got to keep something, what does that mean? that means you could lose it. Or you may not be looking at it like we should. Maybe it's waned a little bit on us, and we need to get back in there and look at it. Keep the Word of God in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Did you know the Word of God is health to your physical flesh? Now see, that's talking about your body. That's talking about you. You know, sometimes we hear things. The enemy will bring lies. What are some of his lies? Oh, that's just spiritual. Anybody ever hear that? That's just spiritual healing. Well, you know, spiritual healing doesn't exist. Did you know that? There's no such thing as really, well, I mean, it's supernatural. And it is, you know, we do have healing that comes from God. In that sense, we could say, well, it was, you know, it happened because spiritually. But when people are talking about spiritual healing, they're talking about their heart. Well, the Bible says that you have to get a new heart. You must be, what, born again. In other words, your inward man is not healed, it's recreated. God actually has to birth you. Amen. John 3, he said, we must be born again, or you must be birthed from above by the Father. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Not on the outside right away, but on the inside. That inward man was born from God, born from above. You must be. So we aren't really spiritually healed. We're spiritually recreated in God. But we are physically healed, aren't we? We may be emotionally healed sometimes. People, you ever see that? People can be in an emotional wheelchair, can't they? And God can come with his power, cause light and bring healing. He said, I'm the healer of the brokenhearted. Anybody here have been brokenhearted? I've been brokenhearted before. You know, sometimes we think about, you know, me. I had a girlfriend once before I met my wife, long time ago. But, you know, it broke my heart when it didn't work out, you know. But God's the healer of the brokenhearted. And I did cry out to God. He did heal me. And he did sustain me. But there are other things in our heart. Sometimes we have things from hurts or pains, from past events, from people, or things that happened to us. Maybe it was a teacher. I shared here before about how one particular minister had the experience in the 8th grade in his algebra class, 7th grade, I believe, 7th or 8th grade, anyway. His teacher was old, and his father had that class, had the same teacher. So she'd been there a lot of years, probably 40 or more. And now here comes his son. And she says, is your father Ronald Renner? And he says, yes. That's my father's name, Ronald. And she said, well, in this class, you'll be stupid. That will be your name. Could you imagine? Can you imagine that happening to someone? Well, how many know what all the kids around him started calling him, even when they weren't in class? You know, guess what he started thinking about himself? But for the grace of God, he said, the next year, thank God, his aunt took him to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. He got filled with the Holy Spirit and started praying in other tongues, and it began to revolutionize some of his thinking. And praise God, it wasn't as devastating as it could have been. But can you imagine that? Getting those thoughts. How many ever had that thought? Maybe it's come to you. I can't do this. I'm just so... The devil will lie to you. Watch our words, because our words can create things in our heart and in our mind and bring trouble to our what? Our mind, our will, our emotions. Amen. How many know you? The enemy works on you in your emotion, on the inside of you, how you feel. And sometimes people even say things to us that they didn't really mean, but it becomes real to us. Or they say certain things and the enemy chimes in and he says, oh, that's what they meant. They meant how terrible you are. And maybe they didn't. See, he works on two sides of things. He works on what people say, but he also works on how you heard it. How it came across to you. And do you know what? Even if you just imagined it, it wasn't something real, but it was real to you. Do you know that it has the same effect on you? And it takes God. How many know God's the healer of the brokenhearted? It can cause wounds. There can be bruises on the inside of us in our soul. I've heard people called names and all sorts of things. Even as a child, I remember one of my friends, I'm at their house and I couldn't believe what his mother called him. And it was horrible. I mean, it's a miracle he made it through. Praise God. You know? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, she wasn't born again. She didn't know better. But, you know, sometimes born again people, they know better and they still say some things we shouldn't say. Because words create something. See, words have power. Words carry power. Amen. That's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Watch your words. We are what? Condemned or accepted. What? With our words. We're going to have to give account. What? For every idle word that we speak. Well, really, idle words are words we don't really think about too much. Usually, they're words we weren't thinking about, and we said it anyway. Anybody ever said something you wish you hadn't? You know, it's kind of like a toothpaste, isn't it? You know, if you take a tube of toothpaste, you know, and you squeeze it and you put that toothpaste out, you ever try to put it back in there? Can you imagine? You're just trying to put that toothpaste back in the tube and it just doesn't happen, does it? I can't, my words, you want to take them back, but they were already said. Put a guard, O Lord, on my mouth, I pray. Amen. Set a watch at the door of my lips, Father. Help me to speak what's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory. That's my mini sermon before my sermon. But it was good, wasn't it? Isn't it good to think about what we say and that words have power and there's healing in your words? There's healing in God's word. We saw that it is life and health to all of our flesh. Words have power. What you say can change the circumstance around you. We can have what we say. Let's read that again. Mark 11:24. I think God's on something tonight. I don't apologize. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever we desire when we pray, what? Believe you receive them and you're going to have them. Whatever you pray, or if we look at the 23rd verse, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, what does that mean? That means anybody, doesn't it? Whoever comes, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed. Well, what is your mountain? Well, my mountain is I need, you know, finances. My mountain is I need to overcome this sickness. My mountain is I need to overcome this fear. My mountain is I need to overcome this depression. My mountain may be whatever it is, whatever your mountain is. He says, what? Be thou removed. Speak to it. Be removed from me. No, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Whatever my circumstances, maybe you have to overcome that anxiety. You know, that's a sin, right? It's worry. Worry is a sin. But he says, well, Pastor, yes, worry is a sin. And God said we can overcome it. We'll look at that in a minute. But he says, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Where is your heart? That's the very center of our being. That's in our spirit, where we believe. That's in our inner man. Remember, we've been talking a little bit about the inner man, our spirit man, right? Being in touch, listening to. It can be a God, the Holy Spirit guides us through our inner man. The Word of God gets into our heart, into the deepest part of us. We don't doubt in our heart. We read earlier, you know, that when we get the Word, what, in our heart, it is life to us. We keep it in, before our eyes. We keep it in the midst of our heart, in our inner being. But shall believe, you got to believe something, what, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, if you're saying the Word of God, what God says, do you believe that what God says is going to come to pass? See, God is faithful. We've got to understand something. Faith is not just knowing what God said. That's knowledge. And knowledge is important. But knowledge is not faith. Knowledge is not faith. Faith is when we become firmly persuaded that what God has said, he's going to do for me. He will do it for you. When I am firmly persuaded. What? What do you mean firmly persuaded? That means you know that what God has said, he will do. And if I'll keep saying what God said, I'm ultimately going to have exactly what I say because I'm agreeing with him. That's the faith of God. You see, we can become passive in our faith if we're not careful. And we can sometimes, I'm not saying we do it flippantly, that's not really what I'm talking about, but we kind of do it casually. The enemy kind of lulls us into this place. Oh, I already know God's going to heal me. He's the healer. I know you're the healer, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. And we go about our day, and that's fine. However, when we need really believe, what did we do? We just kind of pacified our own self. Oh, yes. You know, I'm not saying we didn't believe in our heart, but did you think about what you were saying? Did you really take it to your heart? Or did you just say it out of rote or something you learned? And it really wasn't the faith of God. It was just kind of a passive thing that you said. And we have to be careful because we let ourselves become passive sometimes. And we relax. And we don't stay strong. And we don't say, no, I'm not. We have to come to the place, no, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let this circumstance overcome me. See, what do we have faith over? What do you have authority over? You've got authority over sin. You got authority over you, yourself. Amen. You have authority to receive God's promise. These are things God has given us. And if we don't exercise our authority, we're not going to have them. I'm telling you, in these days, last week we talked about, you know, how the Spirit speaking expressly, or certainly there's coming a time that people will depart more and more from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We don't want to go there. We want to stand with God. And when we understand what he said, we've got to put the Word of God into our heart, or we're going to be deceived by the deceiving spirits because it looks like the truth. How many know? How many are already seeing some of those things? Jesus said in Matthew 24, the first thing he said, to watch out for deception. That's how we know we're getting closer to the end, the more deception that comes. Now, fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit in us who teaches us and guides us into all truth. And if we'll continue to pray and continue to stay, what, with the Word? We said last week, what, the Spirit of God and the Word of God agree. They're one in the same. They're not different. The Holy Spirit will cause the truth of that word to remain and to build up on the inside of you when we spend time with Him, because He is our guide. He is our teacher. I mean, that's what He said. Hallelujah. So it's important that our faith also keeps us in the truth. Let's go to John for a minute. I'm going the wrong direction. John, I believe it's 16:13. John 16:13-14. I'm a little ahead of myself now, but that's all right. It says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to make the truth of what God's Word is alive to you. He's going to make it real to you. Now, hallelujah. That's what we talked about a little bit about last week, is don't get deceived because of what's happening in the world. And we read 1 Timothy 4:1 about the Spirit of God. He speaks expressly or unmistakably, vividly, clearly, unquestionably. No question about it. This is certain and sure in the latter times. In other words, in the latter season. He's saying it's a picture of the ultimate end or the very last of something. As we approach the end of the end days, there's going to be definitely a departure. He said there will be what? Some shall depart. Didn't say all, but some will. It's going to be a pretty good number of some, and we're seeing some even today that are departing from the faith. What does that mean, the faith? What he's talking about there refers to the doctrine or the long-held, time-tested teachings of the Scripture. In other words, the entire part of you. And they leave it, not rejecting it just like that, but little by little, leaving the faith and embracing. They're getting seduced. They embrace a wrong truth. That's what happens to some people. They begin to look at what's being said in the world, and slowly but surely they replace what they did believe with something else, a lie from the enemy. And they give heed, or they give into it. Amen. What'd we say? Hallelujah. They depart, not all at once, but a little bit at a time. They stand apart from, to distance oneself from, to step away from, to withdraw from, to shrink away from. That's what it means to depart. It is where we get the word apostate or apostasy here in the English language. To stand apart. If you're going to give heed to something, you're going to embrace it. They embrace something else a little bit at a time. I've been listening to the news too much, and I believed some of the things that are happening in the world. I begin to believe a system of thought. a way of life, a package of teaching that can be applied to a lifestyle. And slowly but surely, I've replaced some of the things that I did believe. And that is what he's talking about here. Some of the people will. Not everybody, but some. Giving heed to what? Doctrines of demons. In the context here, he's talking about evil spirits, demons, devils. The ancient world generally believed that demons thickly populated the lower regions of the air, and that spirits were the primary cause of disasters, suffering, and actions of insanity. That was their understanding. I would that it was more that way today. Many people blame God. They think, you know, something's happening. They don't realize. We do have an enemy, and he is working overtime right now because he knows his time is short. And we must take heed to what we hear. We must take heed to what we believe. We must take heed to what God has said, and let the Holy Spirit help us to stand strong in where we believe the Word of God that, yes, God wants me well. I can walk in divine health. But I'm going to have to take hold of what God's Word says. I'm going to have to take responsibility for what He has spoken and what He said. And so that's kind of where we are. That's what we were talking about last week. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll turn back there in a minute. That's part of our reasoning. And this is part of the answer, is letting our faith rise up and be strong in who God says we are and what He has promised us. That greater is He, 1 John 4:4, that He that's in you than he that's in this world system. There's a world system out there that teaches contrary to what God said, and we can see it now trying to take God out of everything around us, out of your life and my life. And it's not just not them not receiving God or wanting God, but it's trying to kick God out of everything, not to mention Him. Well, if He doesn't exist, what's your problem, right? What's the problem? You know, then that would mean we were wasting our time anyway if they really believe. But that's not good enough, is it? There's a delusion out there. They get deceived, or to be deceived, or to be what? Deluded by the enemy. All right. That's 1 Timothy 4:1. He speaks expressly. And here in Matthew 24:4, Matthew 24 is what we're talking a little bit about, some end time things. And I said, you know, I'm not real big on everything. I don't understand all the revelation. But there are some things that are clear, that are happening right now, and that are going to continue to happen. And we have to be on guard. We have to use our faith. We have to stand strong in what God said. Verse 4 says this of Matthew 24. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, they're asking Him, what are the signs? What are the signposts, Lord, that we'll know when You're getting ready to come? We'll know that season. He says, take heed, Jesus said, that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. It means to wander. It brings the picture of deception or a moral wandering. Anybody see any moral wandering here out in the world lately or even in the church? It depicts a person or a nation that has veered off a solid path. As a result of veering morally, the person is adrift. It can also be used to depict or to show a lost animal that cannot find its path. To morally lose one's bearings. To wander off course. How many are seeing nations wander off course? You know, the Bible says, you know, you know, we don't want to become here. Jesus says, don't be deceived. Don't wander off course. Don't lose your moral compass, your moral bearings. That means you live righteously and you do what is right when no one's looking. Oh my. That means that we keep ourselves pure. We live unto the Lord. We don't want to, what? Displease our Father. Because we love Him. Not because we think He's going to get us, but because we love Him. We have a relationship with Him. And we have a responsibility as a son and daughter of God. We mentioned on Sunday, what does that mean to be the disciple of the Lord? To love Him, what, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbor as ourself. This is the first commandment. How many are seeing the first commandment being trampled, even by church people? Oh, Lord, help us. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to veer off morally. We don't want to give in to the things of this world. Now, there's a road. The Magnesia Road is very important to our Christian history. It was a highway that Paul traveled when he entered into the city of Ephesus, and he met a group of disciples there in Ephesus that he led to Christ and prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, we see this, 1 through 7. The salvation of these 12 men was a catalyst that launched a mighty move of God in the upper part of Ephesus. Within 3 years, the church was blooming all across the city. They're going gangbusters. The city is being saved. People are being touched. As a matter of fact, when we look there in Acts 19, we've looked at this before, but revival broke out in Ephesus, and they were having all kinds of things happening. Hallelujah. And matter of fact, it was so strong, they were getting upset. How many know when Paul began to preach? Many times there was either revival, and sometimes there was what? There was a riot. And sometimes there was both. Because the people came to God, and they couldn't persuade them otherwise. And then some of the people that were selling certain idols in the area, how many know when people get saved, they get rid of their idols? They had a big book burning, an idol burning there in Ephesus. And so much had been happening. Let's just read here the first 7 verses here. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. So he passed along this road here, and comes to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard if there be any Holy Spirit. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism unto repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which they should, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So there's the 12 men right there. And within about 3 years, revival starts heading across Ephesus. And so it says he went into the synagogue. He spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened, well, it says when divers or some were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And then God began to bring special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, aprons, and the diseases departed from them. Evil spirits went out of them. And so here we have revival taking place. There was a moving of the Holy Spirit, a work of God that took place in these 12 men. And Ephesus became a great church. And when it was time for Paul to leave Ephesus, he was ready to go. It was time for him to leave. And there was also a lot of persecution taking place against him because he had kind of got this revival going. He appointed Timothy as the pastor of the local church. And so later on, he writes to Timothy and he begins to explain to Timothy what's going to happen in the earth, some things that would take place. And we see that over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And here he had also warned them. Well, we may get to that in a minute in Acts 20, but here in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, which we read this just a minute ago, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which we just read. And so he's saying to him, listen up, Timothy, some people are going to come in. They're going to try to deceive people. They're going to try to take them away from this faith which was given to them. They're going to try to delude them, try to trick them, try to get them to believe something else. And the same thing happened here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, we see again. I'm looking at some things where we can know that in the end days there's more deception, and I don't think we've seen it all yet by any means. You know, Jesus didn't waste his words. He said, be careful that you don't be deceived, didn't he? And then here in Timothy, Paul had warned Timothy, don't be deceived, Timothy. Don't let anyone be deceived in the church. Grievous wolves will come in. He said in Acts 20, Paul was giving his final words to the church at Ephesus. He had to leave the city, but he brought them out of the city. And there's a small town nearby there. And he met with the elders. He met with the people. Let's go there just for a minute. Look at that one first, and we'll come back to keep your finger over here in 2 Peter. Acts 20. And let's see. Verse 17, it says, and from Miletus. Miletus was near Ephesus. It was within walking distance. They could get there. And Paul wasn't going back into Ephesus because there's, you know, history says they were trying to kill him. They were trying to destroy the man. And so he had left Ephesus, but he says, hey, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come together, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He said, it's time for me to go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or await me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I can finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace of God. In verse 25, and now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I haven't shunned anybody, declared. Then he says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. In other words, from within the church, men may arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so Paul had already been warning them night and day. He said, I've been telling you these things, and I'm telling you one more time before I depart to go to Jerusalem. And now, you know, be careful. I warn you that there's going to come people in to try to deceive you and drag you away. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so he's saying here, he gives them a warning. He said, I spoke to you for 3 years. I haven't deceived you. I haven't held anything back, but I've taught you the truth. Hang on to the truth, he's saying. And watch out for those grievous wolves that may come in. And here he is. They probably saw him before. He's crying with tears, saying, please listen to me. I'm warning you. Take heed to what I'm telling you. Listen to me. They're going to come to try to deceive you. Don't be deceived. Don't let the enemy take you out in these last days. Get the word of God and the things that you've already learned of me. Strengthen yourself with the truth and let it be your guide. And here in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And so here, there's false prophets that had come in also among the people. And it was in the early church. How many think there shall be false prophets among us as well? Jesus said there would be. False teachings, okay? A foretelling of an invasion of error in the church in the last days. It wasn't just voiced by Peter and Paul, but also Jesus. And so we see that this is true. He said, I'm speaking truly. I'm speaking unquestionably. I'm telling you for sure this is going to happen. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In other words, things that aren't true. Anybody know what a fable is? That means it's not true. It's just a story. They don't believe the truth anymore. It's become what? They've allowed their faith to wane and to draw back. And they were not as diligent as could be. And they began to believe things that weren't so. They got what the Bible says, what? Itching ears. In other words, they just want to hear what's good. Well, tell us all the good parts, Pastor. Forget that part about persecution. Well, you know, we don't really have to believe for it. If revival comes, we see it in the Bible everywhere. Every time they had revival, there was persecution of some kind. Paul had it everywhere he went. The early church, even before Paul was born again, they had persecution. How many remember Peter and John went to prison? You know, how many remember they had to pray day and night? They're praying for Peter to be released. Oh, Lord. Now, he went to sleep. He wasn't worried, apparently. He remembered what Jesus told him. When you're old, they'll lead you to where you don't want to go, Peter. He was still a young man. He knew he was going to live longer. However, how many know it still can be, everybody says, well, did he have any fear? I don't know, maybe a little. How many know the natural man, and when things are happening around you, you don't always like your circumstance. Paul didn't like his circumstance when he was in the Tullian keep. And he wrote the Philippians, remember? That's where you were. He was up to his waist. What? In human poo-poo and urine. It's where the sewer system went through. Underneath. And there's chain. But Paul, being a Roman citizen, had the right to get at least one hand loose, because he had the right to make letters, to write letters out of the prison. And that's where he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We're going to have to decide. I'm not going to be moved by my circumstances or what I see or what everybody's telling and saying around me, but I must believe what God has said, and I continue to stand upon His word, which is truth, and shall abide forever. Oh, I'm so grateful. How many are thankful for the word of God tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It warns us. I'm not warning you because I want you to be in fear. I'm warning you so that we can continue to stand and hold fast to what God's word. We can attend to His word, incline our ear to His sayings. Let them not depart from our heart, but keep them in the midst of our heart, right? Keep them. Let them not depart from us, but hold fast to what God has said. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians here, right before Timothy there. 2 Thessalonians 2. Chapter 2, beginning verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of the God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even with him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Did you catch that? Hallelujah. In other words, there's going to be deception, unrighteous deception, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For of this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now here he's saying there's coming a time when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. The man of sin will be revealed. It is going to happen. The enemy is working strong. Matter of fact, that spirit's already in the world, isn't it? That Antichrist spirit works in many people, and we see it working. But here he's saying, take heed. Don't be deceived. Don't fall for any delusions. Hold fast to that which we believed. Amen. Don't give heed to any damnable heresies. In other words, things that are not so. Things that are not true. Hallelujah. Toward the end of Jesus' ministry, the disciples approached him. And they were saying, hey, Lord, they're on the Mount of Olives. And they're talking to him. And of course, he had said, don't be deceived. Don't let deception take you over. But watch. Stand strong. Stand clear. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch for the signs. Watch for the signposts. Take heed what we hear and how we hear. And let the word of God remain in our heart, right? With our faith. Hold fast to those things that we know. Don't let them depart. And we don't want to be deceived in these days. Deception can be rampant. And how many know, if you're going to deceive somebody, do you tell them, what does that mean? That means it's not the whole truth, right? There may be some truth in there, but it's not the whole truth. That's why we need to keep praying. We need to stand fast. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. Let Him be our teacher. That's why it's so important to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. And let our inner man come forward. I'm just going to stop right there tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the truth of it. Lord, where you have warned us, Lord, you have warned us over and over in your word not to let deception take us out. Father, we thank you that we're not going to be deceived. We're going to let our faith rise and we're going to use it, Father. Hallelujah, Father. We're not going to let it become diluted, but we're going to stand strong with you, Lord, in righteousness, not losing our moral compass, Lord, not drifting away, Father, from the truth of the gospel. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to guide us, to help us as we go about our way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe it's important to hold fast to what God has said? The things that we are learning, the truths that we have, that we can have what we say. We have authority in the earth. We can do what God says we can do. We can overcome. We got authority over sin. We have authority in our life. Not in the lives of sin. Now, we don't have authority over other people. We got authority over our life and over circumstances. Did you know that? Jesus showed that, didn't he? We'll look at that some more maybe next week.